We want to turn to another story we've been keeping our eyes on, the conditions faced by Gulf Coast residents displaced by Hurricane Katrina more than 2 years ago. Last week, U.S. health officials announced that potentially hazardous levels of toxic formaldehyde gas were found in trailers and mobile homes supplied by FEMA to house displaced survivors of Hurricane Katrina. The tests performed by the Centers for Disease Control began in December after residents repeatedly complained of breathing problems, nosebleeds, and persistent headaches. New Orleans resident Graylin Banks lives in a FEMA-issued trailer. We last spoke with him about 8 months ago, and he talked to us about life in a post-Katrina New Orleans. In light of the recent findings, we decided to check in on him. Mr. Banks, welcome. Thanks so much for talking to us again.
Welcome back.
And I understand that you're fresh off of NBA All-Star Weekend and trying to recover from that.
Yeah, fresh off NBA All-Star Weekend, which was a rousing success. From all reports that we have gotten, it was a rousing success. So, yes, and the fact that it was 10 days after Mardi Gras doesn't hurt at all.
So I understand that everybody's feeling pretty good about that, but how are you reacting to these findings that these trailers might be unhealthy?
I'm pretty much numb, Michelle. After all of this and after everything we've been through, it's not surprising to hear that the trailers had formaldehyde or anything else. And I really would not be surprised to find out anything that is negative toward health or well-being or just a pretty positive state of mind. It's a reality that we have to deal with, but it's not something that I really have time to dwell on. I know that there are probably long-term medical implications that we have not even scratched the surface when it comes to the long-term health costs that are going to be associated with this whole thing, with being here after the flood and after the storm and then living in the FEMA trail and finding out that the CDC says you might not want to be there anymore, but I don't know what we can do. Hopefully in about the next couple of weeks, I'll be out of there because I just, at this point, have to get my family out. But it's not as much because of the formaldehyde as it because of the fact that there are four people in the trail and we just can't stand being that close to each other.
Really?
Anymore, as much as we love each other.
It's you, your wife, your daughter, and your four-year-old granddaughter.
Brand new four-year-old grandbaby, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, people have been complaining about, you know, headaches, nosebleeds, as I said. Had you all experienced any of those things?
My wife is going to the doctor today. She has had a persistent cough. The baby, too, Jalen, she has had a persistent cough, and we don't know if it's remnants of what was initially dubbed the Katrina cough or if, in fact, it is part and parcel of the new added component of the formaldehyde. So, Michelle, I don't know, and it might sound funny to say so, but it's at this point, getting out is probably more important than what's going to happen in the long term, and I don't mean to sound callous or anything like that, but at this point, until I've got somewhere else to go, I really can't afford to think a lot about the formaldehyde or anything else in there because that's all we've got right now.
The last time we talked, the reason you're still in a trailer is that the repairs on your home have just been going very slowly. So how are things? I mean, what's the status of your home?
And I had to sue my insurance company. That's still in litigation. My attorneys are handling that. We're still in dispute with the Road Home LRA grant funding to rebuild the home. And the reason that there's not been much work done on my home short of the gutting is because there are at least three homes uptown where I live that have been started. And right now you see the new siding on the house, but there's no windows. You can look inside. The last thing I wanted to do was get started on my house and then run out of funding because now you are actually in worse shape because you've got brand new material that is now open to the elements and is not going to do any good because, you know, the money that you need to finish it because all the construction costs have gone up exponentially post-Katrina and you've got to have enough money to finish before you start. And that's the one thing that I refuse to do is to get started and then be stuck and not have enough financial wherewithal to actually complete the job. But we're going to make it because the suit against the insurance company looks good. We're in the final stages of the dispute with the LRA, so we should be getting that grant. And as soon as it happens and as soon as I know that we'll be able to start and complete it, we'll break ground and start getting the house redone.
It must be scary for you, though, as a head of a household realizing that the conditions that your family are living in might be unsafe. How are you doing with that?
It's scary is the right word, and not as much for me as for the baby, because I keep wanting to say it's not fair, but I know fair is relative, because, you know, nobody ever said it was going to be easy, and nobody ever said it was going to be fair, but it is not the easiest thing in the world to try to retain some semblance of normalcy when you know that the temporary housing that you are in could actually be causing some long-term health concerns. And again, it's not so much for me, but my wife and my daughter and my grandbaby. I would love to be able to make sure that they're safe, as any head household, as any father and husband would want to make sure that your family is in the best and safest conditions as possible. But I would just hope and pray, as I have been doing, that everything is going to work out okay. And I just have to have faith, Michelle, that it will. Other than that, the fear would paralyze and then nothing would ever get done. So we keep putting one foot in front of the other and marching until we get to where we need to be.
It's estimated that about 30, 40,000 families are still living in FEMA-provided travel trailers or mobile homes along the Gulf Coast, including sort of up in Mississippi. Now, FEMA says it's going to try to move quickly to relocate folks in these homes. Have you heard anything about that? I mean, what are they talking about? Are they talking about going back into hotels and motels? What are you hearing?
I'm hearing talk. And that's all it's going to be, Michelle, because the practical reality is that I don't know if there's enough housing stock, and we're into the meat of the tourist season here. I've been in hospitality for 20 years, and I doubt very seriously if you're going to get into the hoteliers after 2 years to turn around and give up a significant block of their hotel rooms to local folks when they are in the meat of the busy season, in the meat of the tourist season. So you've got a lot of talk of what we would like to do from FEMA, what should be done from the CDC, but the reality of what can be done in New Orleans is a different reality than the song that you're hearing everybody else sing. I just don't think it's going to happen as quickly or as easily as folks are just saying this is what we have to do, need to do, or are going to do.
Finally, I hate to ask, but the last time we spoke, you said, I'd rather be in a FEMA trailer in New Orleans than in a penthouse anywhere else. Do you still feel that way?
Absolutely. You got to understand, Michelle, this is, I'm trying to get out of the trailer, but I'm not going anywhere else. I'm going to get out of the trailer. Hopefully, you know, I've got some very short-term plans to get my family out of there, and hopefully within the next 2 weeks. But no thanks to either FEMA or the CDC or any other government entity. This is old-fashioned sweat equity to try to get out of our trailer and get into another piece of property close to where my home is, because that's another thing you don't want to do. You don't want to go too far from your home once the repairs start, because needless to say, there's another element that is involved here in the city that will very gladly take possession of whatever new materials you put into your home if you're not there to watch it, from copper pipes to anything in the bathroom fixtures, the kitchen fixtures, anything else like that. But no, I am a native New Orleanian, but home is home. And if you, once again, referencing back to All-Star Weekend, if you saw that some sort of basketball game that went along with that concert that went on the other night.
So there was a game with them.
But when you watch Kermit and Trombone Shorty and Branford Marsalis and those guys, and you saw that energy and you heard that music and you realized that there's nowhere else on this beautiful third rock from the sun where you're going to find that music. And that is the one thing that I just cannot disconnect myself from. So, no, the FEMA trail is not the best of abodes at this point, but thank God he woke me up this morning, and we're going to keep on struggling. And once we move out of there, things will get a little bit better, but that's strictly a move out of the FEMA trail. There's never any contemplation of a move away from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Graylin Banks joined us from member station WWNO in the one and only New Orleans. Mr. Banks, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Michelle, once again, it's my pleasure. Anytime you need me, please don't hesitate. I'm here for you.
All right. To listen to our first conversation with Graylin Banks last summer, you can go to our website at npr.org/tellmemore.